Almost every baseball player I know has some of these in their house, and it's because of this week's guest. His name is Josh, and he's the founder of Plate Crate. In this week's episode, we talked to him about starting Plate Crate and how he's building one of the biggest train tools and clothing brands in the world. If you ever wonder how all these things get in the Plate Crate boxes every month, this is the episode for you. Let's jump into this week's episode of the Brolettes.
Guys, before we jump into today's episode, I got to tell you about our new sponsor. It is Stinger Sports. Guys, I got to tell you what I love about these guys. So first, I met Brandon, the founder of Stinger, through a mutual friend. We had him on the podcast, one of my favorite episodes. Make sure that you go and check it out. But we've developed not only a bit of a friendship, but now a partnership where we want to introduce everyone on the world to Stinger Sports because they make incredible athletic gear at an affordable price. And this is what I really love, because if you're a parent, you know how expensive gear is getting, how expensive uniforms are getting. And these guys make affordable stuff that is pro level quality. Right now, Colt is using one of their gloves. I mean, this thing is sick. Look how customized that is. And he's using this in 13U baseball right now, which is amazing. And then we also brought them on as a uniform sponsor. Look at these custom Stinger Sports Brolette jerseys. How cool are these? And the best thing, A, they're not just for baseball. So baseball, soccer, volleyball, whatever that you need, they can equip you. But on the baseball side specifically, what I love is they will equip you with fully customizable jerseys, but also the pants, the hats. They will also get you the ancillary stuff like batting gloves or team backpacks or anything that you need. And they have packages that make it affordable for any family. Guys, you got to check out Stinger Sports. I will put the link in the description. Check these guys out. Make sure you tell them that the Brolettes sent you. And please, please, please support our sponsors here. Check out what they're doing. Big fans of Stinger Sports. Now, let's jump into this week's episode.
This is the 10-year anniversary of Plate Crate. Did you ever think this is the business you'd be running 10 years ago when you're playing indie ball and looking for what's next?
Starting off with a fire question right there. No, not at all. Not at all. So Plate Crate, when I started it, it was because I just didn't have any money. I'm like, I don't know anything about business, but I know I want to play baseball as long as I possibly can. So I thought if I could make enough money to basically cover my rent when I went back home, so I didn't have to do a bunch of odd jobs, that was would be a huge success. And then I always treated it as a way to learn business too. I always knew, kind of like you, Colt, always interested in, I'm assuming you're interested in business, watching your dad grow his and doing all these podcasts. And, I always talked about it. And I always knew I was going to start something. So I just saw it as an opportunity to learn. And I never thought it would make it past a few years. I thought it would be my way to pay myself through indie ball. And I was like, if I can make a few thousand dollars a month, I can just play indie ball for forever. And it turned into something else. But no, I didn't think it would be where it is today. But I would say every step of the way, you're like, you're really overestimating what you can do within a year and underestimating what you can do in a long period of time. So. We have big goals now, and we always have goals we want to hit, and hopefully we miss a lot of those goals too. But yeah, 10 years ago, was not thinking about being on this podcast with you guys today, or Bandit Sports, or Tea Poppers, or Plate Crate. I was thinking, how can I hit better so I could stay on this indie ball team. It's awesome.
When you look back on the 10 years of Plate Crate, what's been your favorite moment?
I would say, there was a lot of difficult moments, like a lot of learning moments that I look back now. And I've had three kids since I started Plate Crate. We just had our third, a girl who's 6 months old. And, having them in my office and having them in our warehouse and, we've had floods. We went through COVID. There's been so many, pieces of the business that have been really difficult. And I like having them there so like they can see it one day and they can look back, and whether Plate Crate succeeds or fails or anything, the story is there for my kids, which I'm really proud of. So I think looking back, it's just having them in there. It's having them running around the warehouse, having my wife. I have a really cool picture, which I could send you guys, of my wife in the back of a box truck when we first started dating. And I have 500 Plate Crates in there. And I hand stamped all of them, and I was like, "I made it. This is the biggest holiday ever." And I love that photo, and I wish I took more photos. But there's lots of moments, and I think when I look back, it was probably the most difficult moments that I appreciate the most.
Let's go back into your playing days. You actually played down the street from us at Rollins College in Winter Park. What was your experience playing college baseball?
Oh, man, I didn't know that was down the street from you guys. I knew you were in Florida. I loved it. I mean, I'm a baseball nerd. I've always been a baseball nerd. I grew up in batting cages. My first job was at Extra Innings in Middleton. And I worked the ball pit and I would do inventory. And I've just always wanted to play baseball. And I've just loved it. So Rollins College is a beautiful field, a beautiful campus. I don't know if you guys know this, but our COO, Max Pavey, he was my roommate at Rollins and we played together.
Oh, cool.
And he got his MBA. So it is, you know, once I could bring him on board, everything kind of clicked. So, you know, being on a team when you're younger, especially in college, you get to know how to work with people and care about people and really come together as a team. And that feels what it's like with Clay Crate. We want athletes that work here. We want people who want to win, who care about each other, who we care about, and that we can all grow together. And that's been the best. But yeah, Rollins, I mean, playing in the Florida sun. I mean, I'm in Salem, Massachusetts right now. I missed that Florida sun that we were out on the field in February. And then we had some cool players come to our field. I think that's the cool part about Winter Park too. Really, really small college at Rollins with some nice facilities. So there was always MLB guys there. And you could always pick the MLB guys' brains. And it was really cool to see them on the field and inspiring. So I remember Bo Bichette when he was like 16, he would come on the field with Dante and they would hit. And, you know, like Hunter Pence was always down there and Zach Greinke was always down there. And it was cool to see those guys, see them make it and see that, you know, they're not too much different than you are. They were much bigger than I am. But other than that, they just came to work every day and just got it done. So that was a cool part about Rollins for sure.
Yeah, that's super cool. So I was a DJ, guest DJ on WPRK 91.5 in Rollins, man, for so long.
Oh, man.
Beautiful campus. Just love it over there. I want to talk about, played at Rollins, played a couple years of indie ball, and obviously, like, that's a grind, right? Like, that's not glamorous baseball, right? When you think about playing professional baseball, travel, you know, the pay probably wasn't amazing, you know? You know, the constant hustle of, you know, trying out for teams, things like that. I want to talk about maybe the mindset that you got from that. It's like almost this like scrappy athlete mindset and how that translates into growing a business, because that's what a business is like, especially in the early days. Like you said, you're stamping your own boxes. You know, I imagine you were like putting together your own kits as they were coming in, like in the early days. Like, dude, I've been there, done that with every e-commerce brand I've done. So, but what did you maybe take away, or maybe now even looking back, you're like, man, like I got some really good skills playing indie ball that helped me in the early days of the business.
I'm not afraid to go into zero. You know what I mean? Like when I was in indie ball, I'll tell you how much I made $600 a month. My first indie ball contract, which isn't enough to pay for anything other than, you know, some food on the road, but they gave us a motel room and we got sausages after the game, and I could not have been happier. So I think knowing that, you know, I can be really, really happy with not a lot. I loved where I was. I loved that there was a mission to go after, that there was like a big mission. The mission was not indie ball. The mission was major leagues, right? It was always how far can I go? And if I, you know, indie ball was a stepping stone that I never made it to the major league. So I also failed. I failed on this big audacious goal that I had that was impossible. And when I look back, every single person other than my family was like, why are you playing indie ball? You just left. You know, I worked in this job, which I did not like, and it was not for me. And that's when I started Play Crate too. When I knew, I was like, I'm gonna keep playing indie ball because, you know, I'm gonna start Play Crate. I'm gonna make a little bit of money to support myself, and then I can, you know, the money doesn't matter at all. I can pay for myself. So, you know, the lessons learned from indie ball were, you can't fail. You really can't. It as long as you were on a team and you were playing, and you were getting better, you couldn't fail. If you went back to zero, it just didn't matter. And that's kind of like it is with business. If Play Crate and Bandit, everything went to zero tomorrow, I feel like, you know, I'm very proud of what we built. I'm proud of the story we have. I'm proud of the people that helped us build it. And that really unlocks you to take risks, right? So, you know, mitigated risks nonetheless, but if it was never about making money from the start, and that was just a byproduct of success, that you can really do some cooler stuff. You know what I mean? Because you're not really bound by anything. So I think that was indie ball. Like you kind of, you had an extra gear where you're like, oh, I can live on a couch for a month. It doesn't matter. I can eat sausages after every game. It doesn't matter. I don't need a car. I can hitch rides. And just knowing you have that gear, having that experience, whether it's in baseball, if it's a startup, if it's, you know, a camp, you know, an outdoor survival or something, whatever it is, just knowing that you have that extra gear to just get it done and just kind of figure things out and have this like self-reliance and self-independence, that gives you just a lot of confidence to go do stuff and to not overthink things. Just go do it and we'll figure it out later.
You had a preseason injury that ultimately led to your release from IndieBall and the decision to fully invest in PlateCrate. How'd you turn that setback into an opportunity?
Oh, I mean, I didn't have much of a choice. They let me go. So the thing with IndieBall, and I think anything at all, business, anything at all, I mean, is you can just be relentless. Being relentless is an absolute superpower. Being bootstrapped, we're bootstrapped. You know, we haven't taken on any money from anybody. No investors, nothing. You know, it's a superpower to figure out, you know, how to make more with your resources. That's, you know, almost the definition of creativity. How do I create more with less? So, you know, looking back on, you know, an injury, I could have recovered from that and I could have came back and I could have kept being relentless in pursuing independent ball, but I was becoming really interested in PlateCrate and learning PlateCrate and Bandit Sports. And it was really difficult to give up on a dream of going to the major leagues, because that was a commitment I made when I was really, really young, that I was going to the major leagues no matter what. And I kept believing that the whole time I was in indie ball. You know, and I wasn't even close looking back on it, but like, I still believed it. Cause I was like, every year I was like, I can change it this year. I can do better this year. I'm going to learn this year. And so, you know, I never really was on the trajectory looking back. But in my head I was, and you know, it was this, you know, another superpower of, just not knowing anything, being completely naive. It's like the best superpower. You don't know how hard it is. So you get to go do it. If people told you how hard it is, you might not have started. So not knowing is the best thing you can possibly have. So I was just really excited to start something new and change my goals. And I wanted this really big mission of getting to the MLB. You know, and there was the reason I wanted to get there was to be around kids. Like I always coached baseball and I did camps and I loved that. So to be an MLB player that could sign some autographs after the day and be a role model for kids, that just felt like a dream. And then you get paid to play baseball. Whew, like you could do that for forever. And there's other ways to do that. There's other ways to fulfill that. So, and again, it's by being creative. So, you know, I hurt my neck and I was struggling with some injuries and it just gave me another opportunity. You know, and I think looking back on it, there's no good that would have come from feeling down or being upset I didn't hit my goal. I could have kept going. Like I could have kept going and I could have taken a year off and come back. And PlateCrate just seemed like a really good opportunity that I was really, really interested in. I really wanted to learn more. And I was just ready for a new adventure.
Why'd you go with a subscription business versus just selling a product?
2015 is when I started it, which feels like just forever ago. Not for me and your dad, but for you, it's a different lifetime.
For real.
Yeah, right? Like 2015, that doesn't seem that long ago, but it was. 2015 was like this boom of subscription boxes. There was BarkBox, there was Loot Crate, there was, you know, HelloFresh and Blue Apron. Maybe they were a little after, but, you know, subscription boxes were like, they were hot. People were like, subscription revenue, this recurring business model, everything was just pointing to subscriptions. And I didn't have an idea to start a baseball subscription. I literally was like, I want to get better at baseball. I wonder if there's just a subscription out there. Not that I was like a super gear nut or anything, because I couldn't afford it at that time either way. But I just wanted to see what's the baseball one out there. There's got to be a baseball one for the, you know, the biggest sport in the country with the most kids. And I just kept looking and I was like, there's nothing on here. There, you know, I just Googled it and I was like, cool. I don't know anything about business. I don't know anything about subscriptions, but I was like, I know baseball for sure. I know how to sell baseball bats because I was in that pro shop at Extra Innings, and I was selling the Omaha, big barrel bats, and I knew all the specs, and I knew how much they retailed for and how much they cost. And I was just the biggest baseball nerd. So I was like, if there's one thing I know, it's baseball. It's baseball products. I'm going to go find the coolest products that no one's ever seen, and I'm going to bring those to a subscription box. So that's really how Play Crate started, was I wanted to find these amazing inventions that weren't in Dick's Sporting Goods and that weren't in all of these stores. And I was finding them because I was playing indie ball. And all of these people had all these tinkering inventions. Baseball players and coaches are like, mad inventors, and they're crazy people. they have all these contraptions and all these things and all these inventions, and they just didn't know what to do with them. And I found a bunch of them. And so I put them in the box, and the first box had two or three items in it. I still remember what they are. And I loaded all the stuff in my parents' basement, and they were off to the races.
What item did you put into a box that you thought was going to be the next big thing, and it completely flopped?
There's a ton.
I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen it all, like, because we see it all. So you see even more than us.
I would say protective gear. Yeah. So, we get to invent baseball stuff, which is like really fun. At the end of the day, sometimes I have to remind everybody, like, hey, we're basically like the North Pole for baseball, where we're just in here just thinking about making baseball training aids and toys and experiences all day, every day. Like, that is literally our full-time job, which is really fun. The protective gear is just not that fun. So when we put it in the box, we're like, oh, this looks great. It's awesome. But the thing was, it didn't fit everybody perfectly, which was tough because we have all these members, but we can't do, all the t-shirts plus all different types of shorts and all different types of sizing.
Yeah, the logistics of that's got to be a nightmare.
It's difficult. But again, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is it going to make the experience that much better? And some of the cases, yeah, that it did make the experience better for Play Crate by, we do different sizing for like arm sleeves on top of everything else. So it fits perfect. But the protective gear was more, it just wasn't something you played with. And every time we have a Play Crate, if you've ever noticed this, there's something you can always take out and just go play with. Because that's the whole point, is to spend time in the box. And that's what we talk about. Is how do we get kids to spend the most time playing with the stuff in the box and enjoying baseball? And the protective gear didn't do that. It was like more of like a need than a want. It's like, yeah, do you really need an elbow guard? Or do you like want a tee popper to go hit in the backyard? So we failed a lot in the beginning with that. We thought, let's give people necessity, stuff that they're going to buy anyway. And that's not the point of Play Crate. The point of Play Crate is discovery and fun and going outside and trying new training aids and trying something different and being part of this experience. So, I mean, we don't do protective gear for the most part, unless we think, it's a smaller piece of the box, but we used to do it as like the main training is like a shin guard. And if you look back, you're like, oh, that's not really that fun. You can't play with the shin guard. So those always failed.
Monthly boxes have been the core of the business, and now you're selling tons of product on your site. How's the model changed over the 10 years?
Cool. You basically are, you got an MBA or something. Like, these are great questions. I would love to talk about this. So when we first started Play Crate, it was just the Play Crate subscription. We kind of built this ecosystem of baseball players and baseball families, which I can get into. So we basically found the tee popper by putting it in a Play Crate. That's an original one. I'm going to have to send you a new one because that got jammed. We have new ones coming out. We have a brand new model coming out next year for the tee popper mini. So, that will be fixed for forever. So the model was essentially this subscription box, and it's a pretty big commit for some people to say, for lots of parents, lots of people to say, I'm going to commit to this every single month. It can be a lot. And we felt like that was excluding people. We thought that was exclusive, right? And we didn't want to be exclusive in the terms of excluding people, right? We wanted to be wanted by people. And we wanted to make sure we didn't have too much inventory. And people had some FOMO about not getting that inventory or that product for that month. But we realized, it was some people just couldn't participate with us. And we really wanted everybody to participate with us. whether you can afford to play Crate or not, or whether you just didn't want to subscribe to something, like that's totally fine. Not everyone should subscribe to play Crate. Cause it's a lot of baseball here at the end of the day. And we've changed a lot of stuff so you can get it quarterly or bi-monthly. But so the model has really changed because, you know, we used to get people into our ecosystem, our Plate Crate ecosystem by saying, we have this really novel product. No one else has it. We're the only people in the world that do this, Plate Crate. You come in, and then we said, cool, we know you love baseball. You know, how else can we serve you? And then we said, you know, let's put training aids on our site. Let's put some shirts on our site because we do lots of apparel. And then we could take all of these people and we could say, look at all these other things that we do. And it was upside down. So instead we flipped it and we said, let's do even more apparel to show off that we're this fun, positive, energetic, joyful baseball brand. Let's put it on apparel. Let's bring in way more people that can now participate with us because you're going to have to buy shorts. You're going to have to buy shirts. You're going to have to buy all these things anyway. And we want to make the coolest stuff possible. And if you guys have noticed, our stuff has really changed this year compared to last year. I started working with different artists. Actually, one artist in particular. But reversing that really allowed us to talk to more people and engage with more people and build a much wider brand than just a Play Crate box. So we really think of Play Crate as a product within a brand now, right? And, you know, we might even change the name of part of that brand, to be honest, to reflect more of a, like I said earlier, a fun, positive, joyful, energetic baseball brand meant for kids, right? And the Play Crate is a really awesome experience as part of that brand. But also we have apparel, we have trainings, we have other ways that you can play and enjoy the game and get outside and build relationships through baseball, which is the whole point of Play Crate to begin with. So we really flipped that funnel, which that's like a pretty astute observation by your point that we did that and that we're expanding. And then the other part of that too is, you know, we're talking to baseball families. So, you know, if you have a kid that just loves baseball, chances are their brother or their sister is also going to love baseball. So we figured, you know, we're already talking to, you know, the purchasers of these families. It's mostly the moms, to be honest. And they're saying, I'm going to dress my kids. I want to put them in things that I love. And that really kind of like sparks joy with them too, right? Stuff that you love. And you know, I know when my wife goes and shops for a five-year-old, she also picks something up for the three-year-old too. And now we have a whole household of these brands that my wife loves. So we really want to get to know families better, introduce more products for families. We launched pajamas on the site that goes all the way down to 2T, which fits a two-year-old, because that's what the families are. We're thinking through families and, you know, how to support them and get them to participate in this brand, which is this, you know, positive, joyful brand that I keep saying.
Man, that's so cool. So I love the idea of flipping the funnel, right? It also gives you more entry points for the brand, right? Because someone just might buy a t-shirt instead of a box, but the t-shirt is what gets them to buy the box. Another big flip that I've seen is, in the early days, you were sourcing from a lot of different brands, which is great because it's discovery again, right? Our friends at Voot Grips, you know, and what RJ's doing over there, Chris from Ice Shaker, like you've had these amazing brands, but now you guys are doing a lot of the manufacturing in-house. Like you're like, hey, we're going to create our own products. So talk a little bit about that flip of, hey, let's go and create our own stuff versus just reselling other stuff. And maybe also there's probably a mix of that as well, because there's things maybe you don't want to make. Right? Like you don't want to be in the business of making certain things. So just talk about the product mix a little bit.
So we manufacture everything in the crates. Every single month, we manufacture about 8 to 10 new products. We make them mostly in China, Taiwan, India. We have great manufacturers that we worked with for a long time. That we have good relationships with. Our manufacturer for the Tea Popper was in our office last week because she wanted to come hang. But we make everything from scratch, which is a huge load. Just a lot of effort, a lot of timing. Right now we're ordering for May of 2026 because that's how far ahead that we need to be in order to get things on time, which is difficult. But it gives us a ton of creative control. as you guys have noticing, all the packaging has changed this year. All of the artwork has changed this year. When you open the box, it's a monthly experience. When before, there was a shirt that was baseball, there was a Bandit sports item, there could have been something from like Marucci or something else. And it just didn't feel like this experience that was what we wanted it to be, which was, you know, basically this like little treasure box that you open every month and you're so excited to run to the door and get it and open it up. And all of the items should help the other items and give them more value to the player who's opening that box too. So I think creative control number one is you can go down to Dick's Sporting Goods, so you can go get a Marucci ball, right? There's nothing fun about that. There's nothing additive there. So anything we put in the box, there needs to be some additive element. So we just didn't have control over that. The reason we actually started was just margin. PlayCrate is a bundled product. So we guarantee over $100 per crate. That is 100% true on the conservative end. So we go through every item and we say, what should this cost? What's the higher end at the market? What's the lowest end? Where do we actually fit here? Is our product actually on the higher end or actually on the lower end? And we price that where we think it should actually be. There's no fluff in that. We're not going to price something that should actually be $20 at Dick's Sporting Goods at $35 because we want $100 in our box. We do not do that. And as you guys have noticed, it's also the boxes are, you know, not $100. They're much less. So we have this bundled product. PlayCrate is our biggest product. It's also our lowest margin product. So we get a little bit of a boost from the business because there is this subscription component to it. But at the end of the day, we couldn't buy things at wholesale, which is generally 50%, and bundle it into a box and then sell it at a 50% discount. Essentially, there's $0 to be made. We would be out of business. So, part of being in business too is you have to make money in your business. Like, we can't do all the cool, fun things we're doing and get to the scale that we got to get all this custom gear without staying alive. So it's like, if we want to keep making cool stuff, we need to make sure our business is really solid and that we can hire great people and that we can keep improving it. And we've improved every single year. We've grown every single year. We've added people every single year. And that's because the business has to be really good. And it's not a really good business when you're buying wholesale and then reselling it for a discount. So it started off as a margin, but the byproduct of that is we had complete creative control and we got to invent a lot of things. So, you know, we put things in the box now. You know, somebody might do the soft hands, like a pancake glove. But we said, that's boring, right? How can we add design to it? How can we manipulate the shape of it? And we pay for all the tooling for this. So, you know, we made the mini soft hands, one because it fit in the box, the other one didn't. And then we said, how can we add a little bit more? We added like a target to it. So we're really trying to say, like, how do we add design to improve the value, which costs us almost nothing to manufacture? It's just thinking a little bit harder than other people are thinking. Marucci and Rawlings and, you know, they're great companies. They don't care how many soft hands they sell. They don't care. They want somebody to field the ball with it. And we're thinking, how do we get somebody to play with it? Not just train with it, but play with it, have fun with it. Use something that's different. So we always say we want to be different and we want to be good. That's pretty much the only criteria. If you're different and good, you have something that's really strong.
Every month you do a new drop. Talk to us about how you plan those out.
A new drop? Oh, they're really fun. That's the most fun part of the job. So every Friday, our whole team sits at the conference table and we have people who are remote too. Everybody is on that call, not just product people or operations people. We have, we have our paid media person, Dana. We have, Max, our COO. We have project manager. Everybody in the company has a unique viewpoint on our product based on what they're doing. So the people in operations, you know, they might say, this product is like actually a little heavy and we should actually put in a different month because it's actually going to cost us $3 more to ship that box than something else. But then somebody in customer service might say, we can't do shin guards again because people didn't have fun with them. So we want all of these perspectives to come in. So everybody every week sits down and we just go through how to make these crates amazing. And there's a bit of a system, right? We have a featured trainee each month. We have, you know, the time spent in the box. People are going to play with this stuff. You could have the coolest thing in the world, but if it's in your closet and you don't use it, it's worth $0. It's nothing. if you don't play with it. So everything has to be, you know, really exciting and additive to the box. And we've come with this formula. But we started working with an amazing artist this year. His name's Nathan Walker. He has this really unique design and he's a baseball dad and he really loved the brand. And we just sit down and we come up with ideas for themes. So we start off with a strong theme. This year, Nathan really told us, he's like, I like to think about things in patterns. And so we have these themes coming out next year, which have all these really cool patterns to base them off, which is nice because when you're designing the box, we can have a pattern that goes on packaging. We can have patterns that go on our marketing materials. We can have generally a saying or something like, this is one of our sweatshirts from our September box. And we start with this really strong kind of mood board of all these different themes. And, you know, once we really like what the theme is and the raw materials, then Aaron, our creative director, he goes and he puts them on shirts and he puts them on shorts and hats and he puts it on packaging. And we really just sit down and we try to figure out what's the right balance of this box. Do all these products fit within the course of the year, right? So another failure too is if we put something in the box every 3 months, like there's products you can keep putting in boxes, like socks maybe, or a shaker bottle. But if you put it in every 3 months, everybody that's on a quarterly subscription is going to get a shaker ball every time. So like there's this balance to all these boxes where you want it to be, you want there to be play items. You want to be able to train in the box. You want something that's just a little fun in there. You want something that is on field. If you've noticed that, there's always kind of like an on field item because we want to be in the dugouts with people too. And, you know, the point is to get better at baseball, right? And play in the games. So we really balance everything. And then, either next year, we're adding more community-driven stuff, more ways to just engage with the box. So the honest answer is we just sit down and we just think really hard about it. And when you're always thinking and letting ideas come in, everything is an idea, right? If you listen to a podcast or watch a TV show or read a book or talk to a friend, I'm always looking at kind of under the lens of, can this make Play Crate better? And you can kind of look at the world through that viewpoint. And, you know, when you compound that thinking for 10 years, you know, you start to figure out what makes a good product. We also send surveys out every month. We call people and we want feedback. We want this to be the best possible experience for kids and families. So it's pretty much we sit down and we figure it out and we failed along the way and we ask people where we failed and what they'd like. And we can tell in some sales data what's working and what's not. Like the shirt that you have on right there, people loved that shirt. So we brought it back. We actually just brought it back. And we sit at the conference table over there and we pull around ideas and we just try to make it the absolute best product we can. And then eventually we got to just make it.
What about the content side? You guys do so much every month, photo shoots, unboxing, influencer kits, and collabs. What's your launch strategy to make sure every kid in baseball sees the drop?
When we're thinking about who we want to work with, it's essentially, are they aligned with us? It's not, we don't look at influencers. So I think that was a word a few years ago where it's like, what's your influencer strategy? We really talk about creators now. I don't really care as much about how much followers you have. Honestly, even how much engagement you have, I think that's even more important than followers. But, are you a great creator? Can you create content that people are going to resonate with, that speaks to them? Are you a good storyteller through that content? Does it fit the channel you're making that content in, right? Does it work on TikTok? Does it work on YouTube? Because from an acquisition strategy standpoint, we'll basically take that content, even if it's not this big reach, and we could put paid media behind it, right? So when Coach Rack does a video and it does really well because he's Coach Rack and he's amazing, we can put money behind that. And those are usually our ads now. They, you know, ads a few years ago used to be, I have a punchy, you know, headline, a really nice product image, so I can show people that we're a quality company, but anybody can do that now. Or anybody can fake that now. But what you can't fake is Coach Rack saying, this is Play Crate. I know Josh and I know Aaron and I know the people at Play Crate. I trust them. You should trust them too, because you trust me. And he's putting his neck on the line. And I think that that's something we don't take lightly either. Anytime we work with a creator, we want to make sure working with PlayCrate is just as beneficial to them. So we're always trying to give 51% in that relationship. And and make sure that we're giving them product that makes great content for them too. And so we'll sit on the phone and we'll just come up with ideas with all of these people, with Aiden, who's amazing for us, and Coach Rack and Jojo and Lathan and all these amazing people. And, you know, if one day they say, I don't want to work with PlayCrate, that is totally fine. And, you know, we're happy we got to work with people. So, you know, taking genuine interest in other people and actually wanting them to succeed is also a superpower. You can't really fake it. And all of this content, all of these things really comes back to, we're creating all of this content to show people what we have, what we're about, what we stand for, and honestly, what do you just get in the box? And we take all of those assets and we chop them up into different videos and we try to get people really excited. So we talk about what's the emotion we want people to feel from this video more than anything. You know, after you watch this video, did you feel like you wanted to go work out, or did you want to go hit, or did you want to find out more? So really tapping into that, like how can we energize people through the content that our creators just made? And then with all the themes, a lot of it is Aaron sits there and he says, how can we bring this world to life that we just made, right? So it's, I think marketing now is a lot of world building. A lot of brand marketing now is world building. What worlds can we put you in for a month? And we're going to do that through content, but then we hope to deliver an even deeper experience through physical product at your doorstep. So like the gamer crate that we have on now, there's a little video game animation, or you can, you know, shoot a bunch of Ks like Galaga. And, you know, we did a really fun photo shoot with like these video games and with all real baseball players. I think that's the other thing too. All of our models, they're baseball players. And that helps too. But yeah, we pretty much put it all together. We say, let's make a really fun world that people want to be part of for a month. Let's make product that supports that world, that gets you better at baseball, that's also just super fun for you to participate with. And then we go make content with the best people, the best content creators, and then we pull it all together and try to motivate you to come check out what we're doing.
Love that. Love the gamer box that you guys have going on right now. Like, cool. The content is so good. We're going to do one more question so he can get to school. You can get back to your workday, and then we'll do some rapid fire questions, which are always the fun part of the end. We had to delete like 15 questions from this interview. So we got three more on the sheet. I'm going to let you pick the final question, and then we'll get into rapid fire.
How did you connect with Coach Rack, and what's that collab been like?
Coach Rack was our first brand deal. So, I mean, he went viral for a post, I don't even know, 2018, 2019, 2020, something like that. He went super viral because he made the Washington Nationals. He got picked up, and he gave his dad a hat for the Nationals. And he had one post on TikTok, and it was that post, and it got like 20 million views. And it wasn't Coach Rack content. And then like 3 months later, he posted one video of him in his batting cage. And I was like, I want to work with this guy. Cause he just had it, right? He just had charisma. And I reached out to him that day and we got connected and we just worked together for years. Like this, us signing with Coach Rack is, you know, I've known him for 4 years at this point, and we've talked all the time. And it was always, he always said, how can I help you guys and make you guys better? And he did not ask for money at all in the start. We would basically say, he would say, instead of you paying me, why don't we put that towards something cool we can do for the fans? So, you know, we did one activation where we did this giveaway, and what would be better than flying a family out to Coach Rack for hitting lessons, right? And that's what we did. Instead of paying him a dollar, we spent it on hotels and flights, and we flew a family of four out to him. He brought them out to dinner. He picked them up at the airport. He did 2 days of hitting lessons with these kids, and he made something that just lasted for forever for that family. Such a unique experience. And that's all we really cared about. How can we just impact someone really, really deeply? And then we got to tell the story of that. But we would just sit on calls, and I was working really hard on PlayCrate, and he was working really hard on content. Like, he, you know, content, it looks like it's so natural for him. He works really hard at that, and scripting and learning, and he has content creator calls with all these other content creators, and he's he was committed, and I think we saw that in each other too. You know, he saw I was committed to PlayCrate and committed to growing, and I saw that with him too. And we just talked all the time. He's just a really good really good person. But that's how we got connected. I reached out on TikTok.
All right, let's run into some rapid fire. Just kind of first thing that that pops into your mind, and let's see how it goes.
What's your favorite drop or theme you've created so far?
I know this is rapid fire, so I got to go quick. I'm going to go... I think our back-to-school theme was, like, so much fun. It was our COO, Max. It was his kids that were the models for that shoot. They flew out for that. And then I do, so my wife's a photographer, but I've done all the photography this year for Play Crate. So I just liked how that photo shoot came out. I loved our collection. We made this pencil hoodie, which kind of bombed because I just think we got it out. But that pencil hoodie was probably my favorite thing we created this year because it was for us. We're like, let's just do something we like. And I don't care if any sell, I just want to do something that's cool. And so I think our back to school drop, our doodle crate, there's like a lunchbox and there was like fun snacks in there. It's just, I thought it just came together, really felt like how I wanted Play Crate to feel. You know?
What's the most underrated piece in the Play Crate vault?
So this is, I don't even know if you could find our site. We were talking about it yesterday, like 2019, we did like a Dia de los Muertos sugar skull. And it was just like beautiful, just skull, like way back. And I think more so I love it because it's a little bit nostalgic. And it was like our first taste of like, oh, people really like our stuff. But yeah, maybe that like baseball sugar skull we did a long time ago.
If you could collaborate with any MLB player or creator next, who would it be and why?
Big Poppy. I mean, not even current MLB, we're Boston based. I grew up just a massive fan of him. And I think he's like the embodiment of like the vibe we want, which is just like energy and life and positivity and just to bring it back to Boston too would be really special. And he's just like such a big personality, and he's just a one of a kind person. And I don't think there's anyone trendy that could ever just out Poppy Poppy. You know what I mean? So
what's the best advice you've gotten from a coach or mentor?
Keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. That's it. Yeah. I mean, in baseball, it was just keep going. In business, it was keep going. I mean, you literally cannot fail if you just keep going.
If you had a limited budget to spend on marketing, what would you spend it on?
Just cool stuff. Oh, it would just be stuff that's just fun for fun's sake. So if we had gamer, you know, an unlimited budget, I mean, we would make our own video games and we would send these big video games to people. And we do a meetup where we fly every single person that we love in and we do a whole video game thing. And I probably make everyone do karaoke. And then we come out with a game that everyone can download on their phone. And it would just be to enhance our mission, which is for people to just have fun playing baseball and just enjoy baseball. It's such a special time in people's lives where, you know, you're going to look back a long time from now, Cole, where you're your dad's age, and you're going to be like, we went to games, we played catch, we just spent a lot of good time together. We want to create things that help people spend time together at the end of the day. And baseball is just, you know, the language we're speaking.
Man, so cool. I think the reoccurring theme is like fun. We want to have fun in what we do, right, as you guys, as Play Crate. We want the people who get all of our stuff to have fun and enjoy this beautiful game that we love. Josh, thank you so much for taking time out of your morning to do this. This was an absolute blast and a pleasure. We're big fans. We're going to continue to be big fans, and we can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, that was fun. Thank you for listening to the long stories. I appreciate it. And thanks for letting me tell my story, too. It's always fun to do. And Colt, go crush that test. That would be good next.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.